In its own way, this passage from St. Matthew is an enormously profound gospel and parable, because what it is dealing with is the great mystery of life. One of the great mysteries, that is, the existence of evil. When we say a mystery, it means that we just don't have all the answers to it. And in this mystery of evil, which generations have pondered, from Job to the great saints and theologians to seminary professors, to you, God's holy people in the pews trying to live your life today and those watching from home. The question is, where does evil come from and why does it exist and why doesn't God do something about it? In this parable, we have the figure of speech of good seed being sown and all of a sudden evil weeds come up and seemingly choke it to death. The only so-called answer Jesus gives us is that at judgment time, things will be evened out. But in the meantime, we live with ambiguity and we let the weeds and the wheat, the good and the evil, grow up together. But there's something also in this parable for us today. And not really in just the parable, but in fact how Jesus lived his life. In the midst of so much evil and all the questions we ask, why do people abuse or neglect children? Why do some live lives of recklessness and it is a long life? Others, good and holy and generous, and are cut short? Why do people harm adults, sell drugs to teenagers? How do we live in this world of evil, with terrorism both domestically and internationally? And through all of this, Jesus seems to say, look, there's not always an answer for you at this time, but there is a way that you must act. Without losing hope of becoming mean-spirited or cynical, Jesus is telling us, look for the examples of the wheat, that is, the often unnoticed goodness that is quiet and help builds his kingdom here on earth. And you and I need to hear this, lest we become discouraged and lose heart. Good and bad people will always live side by side. And there are times when the two clash, when there is unrest. And we must recall the words of Paul to the Romans, do not let evil defeat you. Instead, conquer evil with good. We know recently much has taken place in our country and even locally on the issue of racism. So we must conquer evil not only with good, but with truth. And it is the truth that Jesus says will set us free. Now, you and I have to be honest. We conquer evil with good and truth. And it is a reminder that no one needs love more than someone who does not deserve it. And if we wait around until people deserve love, we will wait around until the rest of our lives. The recent controversy involving the video from charities on racism, I issued, as you know, a correction with Dr. McCann. It was my role as bishop of the diocese to be the teacher. Nonetheless, there were emails and letters received by some of the priests and even the chancery that were uncharitable, to say the least. There was, almost as one pastor, a very good pastor, venom dripping from the letters. Now again, we teach and remain committed to the truth with humility. And we do so with pastoral charity. And we have racism, and we have the evil of racism. And perhaps nothing so dramatically as what happened during Nazi Germany. And yet in the midst of this, there was a family, a Dutch family, the guy's family, Miep and Hendrik. Miep worked for Otto Frank. And in 1933, when the Nazis came, Miep hid the Frank family in that secret room in the attic. She was the one who brought food each day and the news up to the Frank family. She was the one who rescued Anne's diary. And she wrote a book, still popularly and to be read today, called Anne Frank Remembered. When she was interviewed, Miep said this: "We did nothing unusual, we Dutch people. We were very ordinary." But she said, during the occupation, there were two kinds of people: those who collaborated with the Nazis and those who resisted. Again, the commitment to truth in the midst of the reality of good and evil. But we know at times there has been evil in the church. There is a great woman, Dorothy Day, a champion of the poor, who died some 40 years or so ago. And in 2000, Pope John Paul at the time, now St. John Paul, gave permission for the Archdiocese of New York to open the cause for sainthood. Dorothy Day in her life became a Catholic as an adult, and she was an advocate for the poor, deeply committed to social justice, but with humility and truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. But in fact, during her pre-conversion days, she was extremely permissive in her life. She had an abortion. She was an anarchist. But in her autobiography, The Long Loneliness, she confessed that the human dimension of the church at times was a scandal to her. She referred to it even as the cross she bore as a Catholic. Yet she deeply loved Christ's church, the human side. And Dorothy Day wrote about the two dimensions of the church, one divine and the other human. The divine is of Christ, the head of his body, the church. The human is us, her members. And like everything human, we are flawed. And as a result, in our pilgrimage on earth, the church does not always show forth the face of Christ to the world. We saw this in the abuse crisis, the lack of leadership of bishops, and the sinful, immoral, illegal behavior of priests, some priests, a small percentage. But why did Dorothy Day love the church so deeply? She said the human dimension gave the church its visibility to the world. The church is like Christ. He too had a divine and human dimension. And it was his human dimension that gave visibility to the divine. It made it possible for Jesus to reach out to people, to forgive them, to heal them, and to teach them. Dorothy Day compared the human dimension to the cross on which Jesus was crucified. And the two cannot be separated. The cross is the reason Jesus became man. He came to save us by his death. And so whenever we find the cross, we will also find Jesus. Again, Dorothy Day is on the path to sainthood. Her life was characterized by truth and compassion. But what about us here today? How often do we read about or watch on the news or experience, perhaps, evil? What Jesus is telling us that in the end, it will be all right, but meanwhile, you and I must bring about his hope, his love, his truth, and peace. And this will require a leap of faith. Oftentimes, when faced with the crosses of our lives, we're forced to go beyond ourselves, to make sacrifices, to reach out in faith. And thus evil, which doesn't respond to logic or common sense, may seem overwhelming. But it need not be a stumbling block to finding and following Jesus. I don't know about you, but in the conversations I've had the last couple of months, I know many otherwise very hopeful people are discouraged by what they see happening in our nation. The civil disobedience, the destruction, the riots, violence and death, racial tension. Have we ever been as divided as a nation since the Civil War? Maybe this parable today offers for us the path. In fact, I believe it does. Besides reminding us of the patience of God, about the church not being just a haven of saints, but a help for sinners, this parable in the end teaches us not to be so distracted by the weeds that we forget the wheat among us, which is a sign that our Lord is with us as he promises us unto the end of the age. The wheat, the good people and goodness in our world, is the assurance that there will be a plentiful harvest. But despite the weeds, by God's grace, yes, there will be a harvest of good. As we continue in our Mass this morning on this summer day, let us look up at the cross of Jesus Christ and ask him to reveal to us what he revealed to so many. It is the great paradox of our faith. Wherever we find and accept the cross, we inevitably find Jesus himself. And we will be surprised at the end to see just how much bigger the wheat stack will be than the pile of weeds.